You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
On today's show, Bubba Carpenter in studio, we'll talk Arkansas-Tennessee, the series opener tonight at Baumwalker Stadium. Also, John Wilkerson, the voice of Tennessee baseball, will join us to give us a preview of the Volunteers. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
There is a lot on the line this week for Arkansas at Baumwalker Stadium. Let's just go through this. There is SEC tournament seeding that is on the line. There is more or less NCAA tournament seeding that's on the line. And there may be an SEC championship on the line, depending on what happens here, what happens in Norman when Texas plays Oklahoma. It's maybe not the series that people thought it was going to be earlier in the year when Tennessee was number one and Arkansas was number two, and both of them got out to just phenomenal starts to the season. They both cooled off a little bit here over the last month or so. We mentioned what's on the line for Arkansas. There's a lot on the line too for Tennessee. Maybe they're a regional host if they win a series here in Fayetteville. I expect it to be a very raucous crowd this weekend. And, you know, two good teams going at it. I mean, this is what the regular season finale ought to look like.
You know, even though it's not what we thought it was going to be possibly, it is crazy around town right now. Everyone's talking about the game.
Feels like a football game weekend.
Yeah, it really does. And everywhere I've gone for the past week, that's all I've heard about is, you know, this weekend, you know, Tennessee coming to town, you know, everyone's got questions about them. And so, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, for Arkansas, put the SEC championship talk aside, and we'll get into scenarios for that a little bit later when we look around the SEC. The one big thing, or maybe the most pressing thing for them right now, is to get a top four seed in Hoover. If they win the series, they're a top four seed. I mean, there's only two other teams. Texas is already at 20 wins. LSU is the only other team in the league that could possibly get to 20 wins. So if you get to 20 wins, you're definitely in that top three, and then it's just a matter of tiebreakers and if you're tied and, you know, who's around you and whatnot. Getting a top four seed, I feel like, is a big deal in Hoover because with the way they've changed the tournament format this year, it changes it into – I mean, it's basically like a three-day weekend, you know, yeah. Like a three-day series. You go down there, and whether you're playing on Thursday or Friday, it's throw your game one guy, throw your game two guy, throw your game three guy if you get that far. It's just a totally different deal. But if you get into that 5-8 seed or even lower, then you got to start going through the nonsense that Hoover can create.
Yeah, I like the fact that if you're a top four seed, it's almost like a super regional. Mm. Really, you go in there and you're playing three games, and that's what I like about it. I wasn't a big fan of the old format. I think I just seems like people always get hurt down there, and you always go down there and you're not sure. Okay. You don't want to not win, but you don't want to lose. Wait, is that the same?
I guess. Yeah, it was such a weird deal because the way that it would work was, you know, you'd go there and you'd go 2-0 and you'd get to the weekend. And then you'd have another team that battles out of the loser's bracket and they play you and you beat them 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
But because they beat you on a Saturday, they get to go play for the championship. It never made any sense the way they had that format set up.
Yeah, I never did like it. I think this new format will be better. It would suck to go all the way down there and lose first game, come home. But, you know, I just don't know that if we take care of business this weekend, none of that really matters. Like you said, you look at it, Matt, in the grand scheme of things – The key is getting the 20 wins. If we win the SEC title, that's great. If we don't, you know, okay. We're trying to set ourselves up to get to Omaha. And, you know, we take care of business this weekend. We don't really have to worry about what happens in the SEC tournament.
If Bubba or I pass out today, it's because it's so hot in this studio. We're on the second floor of a brick building, and yeah. I mean, it's the heat is coming in from the outside. It's warm in here today. We may be sweating like that. You know that series where they eat the chicken wings?
Yeah.
And they talk. You know, they're sweating by the end of that. Might be how we look by the end of this. Yeah, it is bad when you go to Hoover and you lose one. Yeah. You can make up for it though. You can like get some barbecue in Memphis or something. At least make it worth your trip down there. We talked about top eight national seeds, Baseball America and D1 Baseball this week have come out with new projections. D1 Baseball says Arkansas would be the number three national seed. They also have Arkansas ranked number eight in their top 25 poll. Make that make sense. Baseball America says Arkansas would be the number five national seed right now.
Sorry to interrupt. Can we talk about that? How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
D1 Baseball.
It does not make
any
sense.
Can you explain that one to me?
The only explanation I can give is that they have two different standards. They have a standard for their top 25, and they have a standard for their projections. And I guess what they're going with is the projections are how they see that the selection committee would rank teams. But unless you don't have any respect for the selection committee,
yeah.
Why would you not go along with that? It's weird. And what it does, and Christina and I talked about this yesterday, it creates a lot of confusion among mm-hmm. people where they might see, okay, Arkansas is ranked eighth in this poll. They're on the bubble of being a regional host
yeah.
or a top eight national seed, when in reality, they seem like they're in a really good shape to get there.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. I've been looking at all that, and I'm like, wait, that makes no sense to me. But it goes back to that common sense thing. I'm a common sense person. I want it to make sense.
Baseball America, I mean, kind of not quite as drastic, but they've got Arkansas as the number five national seed, and they've got them number seven in their top 25 rankings this week. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I do know this. Take care of business against Tennessee and all that,
right?
You know, any question there might be goes out the window.
Yeah, I feel good about it. I'm excited about the series. I like where we're at. I think, you know, if you talk about SEC title, this is the first year I haven't really been excited about, oh, we're going to win the West or we're going to win the overall. I really didn't even look at that. I think it's because of the new format 1 through 16. I don't know. You might be different. I mean, it'd be
cool
to
win. Let me ask you this. Arkansas wins the first two games of the series. Texas loses the first two games of its series in Norman. Are you singing a different tune going into Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'll be all in for winning the whole thing. But as of right now, I just want to win two games against Tennessee. That's all I really – I think LSU is going to go in and sweep South Carolina. I honestly think Oklahoma could win two out of three. At least, again, I think they'll win two out of three against Texas. I'm still not in on Texas. I'm not.
And we've seen Arkansas do this before. They're going through their valley at the wrong time of
right.
year. You want to go through that valley in early to mid-April and be able to climb your way out of it before the postseason gets here. It feels like Texas, especially with their lack of offense, like I would not be surprised at all based on what I've seen from them offensively if Kyson Witherspoon just absolutely mows them down tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
Like 7-8 innings, double-digit strikeouts, mm-hmm. not a lot of runs. They're one of those teams that it feels like, you know, they could be a 1 or a 2 national seed and they could maybe get, you know, picked off on their home field in the regional.
I think so. I mean, I watched our pitchers just absolutely dominate them all weekend. I mean, they really did. It wasn't even close. Now they've got good pitching, and, you know, pitching will get you down the road a ways, but, I mean, you still got to score runs.
Okay, so Arkansas and Tennessee, they're both changing their rotations a little bit. I would say they are tweaking their rotations. It's not wholesale changes. Arkansas is going to hold Gage Wood for game three on Saturday, and you can speak to this. This is to keep him on a normal rest routine coming back from that shoulder injury.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. Do you think that has anything to do with Liam Doyle going to Saturday or going to Friday?
Doyle's dealing with a blister.
Yeah.
Apparently, whenever he was pitching against Vanderbilt last week, every time he pitched, there was blood on the baseball.
Yeah. And those things –
Can blood be considered sticky stuff?
I don't know.
I don't know. But apparently he's been battling this blister all year, and it finally came open and was really affecting him the other day, but he still threw like over 100 pitches with it.
Yeah, 7 innings, 3 hits, I think, against Vandy, wasn't it? No runs.
It was good.
I mean,
yeah,
it was pretty good with a blister. I played with guys that would get them early in the year, and they would battle it all year, and they would try to put – you would think that with today's technology – there's something you can put on that to keep that from coming back open again. I don't know.
But they're still putting super glue and what else on it? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, you know, back in the day, it was that new skin stuff. You put it on there and sting a little bit, and you're good to go.
Yeah, so, I mean, Doyle's dealing with that. And, you know, for people who haven't seen Liam Doyle this year, we saw him last year with Ole Miss. Remember, he started game two of that series. And it's interesting.
Okay.
Well, and this is what I was going to say. With Tennessee, I can't give them a lot of credit. What Frank Anderson and those guys do at Tennessee, think about the number of pitchers who have gone there, and they have really taken off. Chase Dahlander did it. Chase Burns did it. Now you've got Liam Doyle going there from Ole Miss. There's a pattern there of getting these transfers in and really developing them into much better pitchers. It's a lot like what we see happen with some of the guys who come in here too at Arkansas.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities. The thing that gets me about Frank Anderson, and Tennessee never holds runners. They didn't hold them last year. They don't hold them. Have you looked at their stolen base? I'm sure you looked at stolen bases. I mean, I
kind of had to do a double take because it was so astonishing.
I mean, you look at Marcus Phillips in SEC play, 36 for 40 stolen base attempts.
He's the one throwing tonight.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you get him first, it's a double. Now, the thing is, he doesn't walk you. He's going to throw the ball over the plate. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. But if you get a base hit, I mean, you're going to second, and there's a good chance you can go to third. It's almost a triple. It's almost like 9U baseball.
Didn't Kentucky have some ridiculous stolen base count against Tennessee earlier this year?
Yeah.
I mean, their numbers this year, and you mentioned SEC play, but as a team this year, it's 101 successful stolen bases, 101 successful. That's 29 more than any other team in the SEC has given up, and the next team is South Carolina, and we saw how their pitchers were. But anyway, Tennessee, they've thrown out more base runners than anybody else, but it's because people have run on them 131 times.
Yeah, it's kind of like an outfielder with a lot of assists. A lot of times that doesn't mean he's got a really good arm. That means he doesn't have a good arm and guys challenge him. So, you know, you can look at it two different ways.
Tony Vitello spoke earlier this week. Tennessee beat Belmont on Tuesday night. That was the last time that Vitello spoke to reporters there in Knoxville. We've got a clip here that this is where he's discussing Liam Doyle. And you'll hear him talk about Friday. If you go back a couple of weeks ago, remember they started Doyle against Auburn in a monsoon, and then they brought him back on the final day. I think he even got ejected in the last game of that series. It was really weird. Had to sit out a game or two. Anyway, he's got a wild couple of weeks. This is what Tony Vitello had to say, though, about Liam Doyle and how they're looking at this weekend's series with him.
So I said, let me finish this stuff, and we'll get back in there and visit. So my only concern for Liam in general is just, you know, we've asked him to do a lot with the Friday, the Sunday, and then 100 pitches Friday, despite the hand starting to get bloody and things like that. So I would, again, you want to talk about not wanting to do things over again. I would never want to redo things to where we don't get a year around Liam Doyle, but it is only a year. Whoever drafts him is going to get him for a long time unless they decide to trade him or free agent steal or something like that. So just kind of, I'm no patron saint, but want to look out for him a little bit.
Tony Vitello on Liam Doyle. I like that last bite there from Tony. Doyle, probably going to be the SEC Pitcher of the Year. He's in the conversation for the Golden Spikes. I don't think he's going to win the Golden Spikes. I think he'd have to have a real dominant run here down the stretch to improve his status in that. Defense independent game score. You ever look at that?
No, you've asked me that before, I do not look at that.
Well, I'm not real big on looking into that, but whenever I was talking to Nate Thompson a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned this, and he said, you know, we look at that, and you got three of the top four that you're going to see here over the next couple of weeks talking about the LSU pitchers. Doyle's number one. And what that does is it takes into consideration all of the things that are within a pitcher's control, hits, hit batsmen, walks, strikeouts, stuff like that. And so when you think about a pitcher controlling a game, according to these stats, he does it better than anybody else in the country.
Well, I don't look at that. I look at the splits. Now, I probably ought to look more into that. I mean, it makes sense because you look who's at the top of that list, and they're all really good, and they're there for a reason. I like the splits. I like looking at the splits. If you look at Doyle, lefties hit 141, righties hit 147. I mean, there's no one really hits this guy. But we do better against guys like this, I think, than a lot of teams. You look at our lineup. We've got a lot of guys in the lineup that rake fastballs, high velocity fastballs, and we got some guys in the lineup that don't do that well against high velocity fastballs. We do have a tendency to chase at the top of the zone, but if you make a mistake at the top of the zone, we're going to hit it 400 feet. So I think it's going to be a fun matchup. I'm looking forward to watching him pitch against our lineup. I think it's going to be fun.
Both of these teams are like Arkansas. We've said this before. They're 30-3 at home. Best home record in the country. Tennessee's 8-4 on the road, and they've gone into a couple of pretty good places and won games. And you'll hear Tony talk about this here in a second. It's a different atmosphere, I think, this week than maybe they've experienced elsewhere. Although Ole Miss was very hostile when they came back with a couple of their stars from last season. You know, Andrew Fisher, their first baseman, was at Ole Miss. Doyle, obviously. But they've been good on the road. Arkansas's been good at home. Arkansas's been a really good hitting team on their home field. Tennessee's been a pretty good pitching team on the road. Now, their defense, and like you said, their lack of holding runners, that leaves some to be desired. Dave Van Horn was asked yesterday about Tennessee, and I think there's just a lot of similarities between these teams, maybe just in terms of how their season has gone. I mean, Tennessee's got 40 wins, but what are we talking about Tennessee? Well, they've lost 5 of 6 series. Arkansas's got 41 wins. A lot of people are focusing on they've lost 4 of 5 series. So I think there's a lot of similarities between these teams. This is what Dave Van Horn had to say, though, about this year's Tennessee team.
Same as everybody else. They're very talented, and, they've got a very strong bullpen. Their starters have really good stuff, and, they're one of the best offenses in the league. They're hitting over 300 as a team, and there's only three teams doing that this year at this time of year. You look at the home runs, they've hit a lot of home runs lately. I think they're up to 112, 13, 14, somewhere in there. So it's an explosive team with really good talent. And, not going to touch on everything, but that's pretty obvious stuff.
It's been a pretty one-sided series as of late. Do you realize Tennessee has not won a series in Fayetteville since 1996? It was at George Cole Field. That was the last time they won a series here. And the last time they beat Arkansas in any series was in 2005. Dave Van Horn's teams have had great success against Tennessee, whether it be Rod Delmonico as their head coach, Dave Serrano, obviously Vitello here for the last several years. It's weird. It's like it's kind of like Arkansas and LSU in reverse. You know, LSU, even when Arkansas has had a lot of good teams, they can't get over the LSU hump. It feels like Tennessee, with some of their good teams, they just haven't been able to get over Arkansas.
I think it goes back to when you play them, though. Yeah. I really do. And you look at the whole SEC schedule. It's not who you're playing; it's when you're playing them. And we say that all the time on here. And I think we've just caught Tennessee at a good time. We're good, but so are they. And you look at their record, and they've lost some tough games too. But it just goes to show you how fragile one pitch, one swing can be in the SEC. I mean, because you look at their record right now, and I didn't think that's where they'd be at this time of year. But they're still a really good team. If you watch them play, I mean, they're good. And you talked about a hostile environment. I think everywhere Tennessee goes is a hostile environment, and I think they just kind of bring that with them.
Yeah, and I think they probably stoke some of that hostility, too, with the way they act.
Yeah.
Some of the over-the-top things that they do. There's something about teams in orange with the T on their cap that brings it out of the Razorback fans, right? I mean, we saw it with Texas a couple of weeks ago. I know we're going to see it this weekend with Tennessee. Van Horn was asked yesterday about the rivalry, and I think he downplayed it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another SEC series that, you know, there's coaches know each other. I'm sure the players know each other. And, they're the defending national champion. That probably makes it more exciting for the fans. But for me personally, it's just it's another SEC series. It's not any different than playing Texas or LSU or A&M or all these guys. They're just really talented teams. And, you have to play really well to win, and it's hard to win a series. If you can get one, get it.
You know, I think sometimes coaches, there's coach speak.
Yeah.
I actually believe what he said. He's very consistent in that there's 30 games. They all count the same. You can't make one any bigger than all the others.
I think people overplay this Vitella versus Van Horn thing.
That's all water under the bridge.
Yeah. I mean, it's this was about two good teams playing. It's not about two good coaches.
That was a 45-second blow-up
yeah.
at the end of a really emotional, competitive series.
Yeah. I mean, that's two competitive guys going at it right there.
Remember a couple of years ago, and Van Horn has told me this story too, but he told it on the SEC Network radio about they met up at a hotel bar and grill during the coaches convention in Nashville a few years back. Uh-huh. And they took some pictures of like Dave and Tony with like their fists up at each other or like their hands around each other's neck. And Dave said, I hope that these never see the light of day. But, you know, I mean, just they're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine. I don't think that it's kind of like if you and I had an argument. Well, the cameras aren't going to be rolling on it.
Right.
And people aren't going to let this live in infamy for 4 or 5 years or however long it's been. I do think that that part is overplayed. What I don't think is overplayed is the fact that the two teams, I think, really want to beat each other really bad.
Yeah.
Because these have been the two top dogs in the SEC for about 5 years now. And I think for their fans who are always yapping at each other on social media, this is a big series for them because, you know, whoever comes out of this victorious this weekend – they're going to get bragging rights for however long until they see each other again.
Don't our fans go at every team we play on social media?
Do you remember when you were there in Chapel Hill? Remember Tennessee, that 57-9 team that they had? Number one,
yeah.
They lost to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Like this loud roar comes from the Arkansas section yeah. in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I know what that's about.
Yeah, you knew. As soon as you heard it, you knew what was happening. It's kind of like being on a golf course with Tiger Woods.
It is.
You hear the big yeah. roar, you know he just knocked in a birdie or something. But
this is good for college baseball, though. I mean,
yeah.
like you've got your respectful rivalries. And I'm not saying this is a disrespectful rivalry or anything, but like when Arkansas and LSU play, you know, whether it be Maneri or now Jay Johnson, they're going to say the right things about Arkansas. And Van Horn's going to say the right things about LSU. And they're going to be very polite and very complimentary of one another. And I know that, you know, and Vitello is with Dave and Dave is with Tony. But behind the scenes, and I'm not even saying in the building, but I'm talking about like within the fan bases, you know, it's like this is not a like if you were from Tennessee and I was from Arkansas and these are our teams, this is not a friendly rivalry. This is something that we want really bad.
Oh, we do, without a doubt. I mean, you know, I said the same thing when I woke up the morning of the Texas game. Like, you wake up and you know you're playing Tennessee that day, your neck's a little swollen when you get out of bed in the morning. I mean, you feel a little bit different. When you go to the ballpark, there's a different buzz around the stadium. But I guess I get tired of hearing about Tony versus Dave. It's not Tony versus Dave. It's two, they're good coaches, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's the players wanting to beat each other. It's us wanting to beat them because we want 20 wins. It's them wanting to beat us because they're trying to get a regional. I mean, it's so much. There's so much more to it than that. And but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fiery. And I think the thing that gets me is, you know, you watch the Tennessee teams. You know, they're a little mouthy sometimes. You know, but so's Tony. Tony kind of pushes the limits when it comes to the umpires. And, you know, Dave was a little fiery back in the day too. He's mellowed out a little bit. I was fiery back in the day. I was totally different. I've mellowed out a little bit right now. You didn't know me back then. I was a mess. But you know, Tony's still in that stage where he's like, you know, he does push the limits, and I think the players take on his personality. Therefore, you see a little bit of, you see some jawing and some mouthing. You know, I think sometimes they get carried away. When I think of Tennessee, I think of Jordan Beck, you know, running around the bases with his middle finger up or rounding first base. That's still stuck in my mind.
It's unfortunate, too, because Tennessee has been so good.
Yeah.
That it's the antics that
yeah.
– that. But Tony was like that at Arkansas. Motions on his sleeve, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was that's how he's always coached. And it's been successful for him. It's probably been unsuccessful for him at times. But – by God, he's going to coach like that, and he's either going to succeed or he's going to fail in that way. And, you know, he's been a lot more successful than not. I mean, you look at his winning percentage. It's incredible what he's done there at Tennessee. One more clip here before we get to John Wilkerson. Tony Vitello spoke this week about returning to Fayetteville and playing the Razorbacks, is what he had to say.
What stands out about Arkansas and going back to Arkansas?
It'll be loud, really, like good baseball fans that that know the game, but also they'll be loud. It'll be a different style of loud. I mean, everyone by now knows Oxford's, the trip to Oxford had a unique flavor to it this year. And then, you know, a couple other places we went where it was really loud. And then they'll be well coached. They're going to play hard. And he knows what he's doing on game day. You know, history speaks to that for obvious reasons. And I don't know quite where they're at, but they're probably ranked higher than us and have a better record. And it's probably because they also have good players on top of the good coaches. So I think, and I don't, maybe I'm wrong, if anything, it's nice. You know, I don't think I've recruited any of those guys. I mean, we lost a big game there and some of the parents. It just was a weird flavor there for a few years of that. And same with University of Missouri. And now I think it's, you know, on the field, in the stadium, I think enough time has passed. So, and then the flip end of that is I think those relationships, just because time's gone on, have grown, believe it or not, behind the scenes, they've grown even stronger. And I think there's a real appreciation there, at least from my end.
A lot of respect, I think, between these two coaching staffs. When we come back, John Wilkerson, the voice of Tennessee baseball, will join us. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. I want to tell you, too, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. John Wilkerson is the longtime baseball play-by-play voice for the Tennessee Volunteers. He's in Fayetteville today getting ready for this series tonight over at Baum Walker Stadium, and he joins us now. John, when you were on my podcast the last time, it was 6 years ago, and you and I had a long conversation about how Tony Vitello was building his program. And it seems like things just really exploded in the years since then, obviously. But what's this ride been like with Tennessee over the last 5 or 6 years?
It's been remarkable. Of course, huge shocker in that instance. But one thing that was apparent from the start with Coach is that he knew exactly what the path was for the program that he wanted to build. And then he went out and did that. And you sure had, I mean, it was just steady, because in 19, they make their first NCAA tournament appearance. 21, they win the East for the first time since 97, make it to the College World Series. 22, one of the best teams that college baseball has ever seen, and they stumble in the Super Regional round. And then you had kind of a blip on the radar. You replaced the entire lineup for 23. You're 5-10 at the break in terms of halfway point of the SEC. They come together. They get to the College World Series again, win their first College World Series game since 01. And then last year, it was really something just to watch them track down Kentucky in the East, share the division and the regular season title, win the tournament a second time, and then get into the College World Series where the remarkable comeback against Florida State, which at that point in time for me was the biggest win ever in Tennessee baseball history, until the winner-take-all showdown on that Monday against Texas A&M. But it just really has been remarkable to see that this is everything that he had a vision for from the time that they first put that orange blazer on him.
You know, I kind of laugh every time I watch Arkansas and Tennessee games on TV. If it's Tennessee playing, it's got a stat that says Tennessee's got the most wins since 2020 in college baseball. And then if it's Arkansas, and Arkansas's number two. And then if it's Arkansas playing, they show that Arkansas's got the most wins in college baseball since 2017, and Tennessee's number two. It's like they're pandering to whoever the crowd is that's watching them. But the point being that these are the two teams that have really dominated the SEC for several years now. I wonder, what do you think what's the perception of this Arkansas team and this Arkansas, you know, little rivalry that's blown up with Tennessee over the last several years from the Tennessee side?
It really has been quite the back and forth. And of course, if you left it to the fans, this is such a heated rivalry in terms of just, we'll say, not even a civil conversation for most when it comes to social media. But, I mean, you see everything that's there. It's just that Arkansas has done everything except clear that last hurdle, and then they were oh so close with that ball that wasn't caught in Omaha. And at the same time, you know, to be there in the picture and then to see the same things where it's you think you've got everything together and then there's just something that gets in your way, whether it be losing a super regional at home or whatever. But without a doubt, Arkansas has been as consistent as any other team essentially in the Southeastern Conference. And it just they haven't been able to have the sun shine on them yet like it did for Ole Miss, especially when they were the last team into the field in 2022. Mississippi State getting through to that last showdown against Vanderbilt and then stepping through that door to win its first ever national championship. So I don't think there's any question. The pieces are in place, have been. It just comes down to whether you find that one bolt of lightning most when you need it.
You know, Tony, he's brought two teams here to Fayetteville, two pretty good teams, and both of them left with series sweeps. How difficult do you think that this series has been for them in Fayetteville?
Well, it really hasn't mattered where they've squared off. I mean, Tennessee did get one win the last time that the Hawks came to Knoxville, mm-hmm. but this has just been the biggest thorn in Tennessee's side when you just come to straight results for the last decade or so. And I can't say that there's rhyme or reason to it. Without a doubt, you can just look at the makeup of these two teams. Even this year, Arkansas, I would give the nod to being more complete in terms of what it is across the board, but the numbers aren't that far apart, whether it be any categories where Tennessee has an advantage or on the offensive side where I give the Razorbacks the nod. I mean, they are very, very similar. Neither one does a ton of base running in terms of stolen bases, things like that. But it's just that Arkansas has been able to win in so many different ways because sometimes it's they just knock the guys right off the mound. Other times, for instance, I think the last time they were here, it was a late rally and a home run late that erased what was a Tennessee lead they were trying to get across the finish line. So I just think it's going to be kind of a knockdown drag out, and that's kind of what I've come to expect between these two schools. And Arkansas has just found a way to make the necessary plays or get the big outs when needed.
What do you make of Tennessee changing up the rotation this week and throwing Liam Doyle game two?
I think there's a lot that goes into that, and I think, one, it's being able to keep Liam on his regular routine. He lost a game earlier this year when they bumped him up to Thursday. That was down at Alabama, and that was week two of the SEC schedule. The only other time that Tennessee's had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday this year. And I also think that he had a bit of a blister against Vanderbilt, one that burst. And so I think they're just trying to make sure that they don't do anything to accelerate his week and perhaps let that be a bigger issue than it needs to be. They're caring for it and everything, but Marcus Phillips had an outstanding game at LSU, but then struggled to get things nailed down the last two games. He did have a much better performance against Auburn than last week against Vanderbilt. So I do think that since he didn't have as much time on the mound, that he was easier to perhaps bump up 2 days as opposed to Liam Doyle 1 day.
You know, you mentioned the numbers, and that did stand out to me last night as I was typing in some of the numbers. You know, it's like OPS is only separated by 2 points, and ERA is not separated by a whole lot, and batting average and runs and everything is real tight between these teams. I want to go to to Tennessee's offense, though. You know, there are some names that are probably household by now if you're a college baseball fan, whether it be Hunter Ensley, I think Andrew Fisher. But just kind of take us through the lineup and who have been the key players for Tennessee this year.
Well, two guys that came in through the portal, Gavin Keelan from Louisville and Andrew Fisher from Ole Miss, I think have probably been your most consistent newcomers. As you mentioned, Hunter Ensley, last year, a World Series hero in Omaha, and he decided to go ahead and say, I'm not interested in being drafted or going pro ball. He thinks that his greater impact would be his last opportunity to wear the orange and white. And I think that's shown. He's having his best year as an individual, leads the team in runs batted in, just hit his 10th home run in what might have been his last game at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, if nothing else, his last regular season game. And he has been a remarkable leader. Dean Curley is the only other starter that returned from last year's team. He's moved around a little bit. He's primarily been at shortstop. Then when Keelan got hurt, he's moved around to third and second just to see how Tennessee could reshape the infield. And so he's playing second base now. Keelan, after coming back from the time that he missed, he moved over to short. And third base has been interesting because Dalton Bargo, his second year at Tennessee, third year at college ball, he's been able to move back and forth between left and third. But I think that when you look at Fisher leading the team in home runs, you look at Keelan being the team's leading hitter, they really have been strong additions. And then you've also got a very impressive freshman class in terms of what their expectations were and have been, that has started to fill in around the lineup a little bit. Levi Clark got off to a great start this year. He's now kind of getting more and more time in left field. And then Manny Marin, who's also a freshman, can play anywhere on the infield you want him to. He's been probably getting the nod at third. But I just think that Tennessee has been able to mix what is a very highly regarded freshman class, a couple of key additions from the portal, and then other guys that are now getting that opportunity to step up and play more and be more of an impact in the offense. Chris Newstrom is also another freshman who recently went into the lineup. He's got a little more consistent pop in his bat from the right side than what Tennessee is wanting to do, and maybe spread out their lefties a little bit. But one thing that's been odd is, it was great guns going early this season in terms of how many runs Tennessee was putting up. Now it's kind of been more hit and miss. Tennessee in the weekend series that they've lost, it has been where they win the game, and that game that they win with Liam Doyle on the mound, that's where the offense has been most productive, and then they've kind of struggled the other two games. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. They blew a golden opportunity to get the Friday opener at LSU and gave up 600 runs in the bottom of the ninth. Otherwise, that's a series win for Tennessee if everything else remains as it played out. So this is a team and a lineup that they're looking to perhaps shore it up, give it more depth, and even at this late stage of the season, just kind of sprinkle in some guys just to see what they can do, because they've shown a capability of contributing previously.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you about that, the game two and game three, because that's where, you know, like you mentioned Doyle, they're winning a lot of his starts. Is it a starting pitching issue in game two or game three? Is it bullpen? What's going on where they're not able to finish off these series?
Well, bullpen, I think, has been perhaps the greatest, most consistent area where you just haven't been set. But I do think that in the second half of the schedule, I mean, you look at the two games they lost against Kentucky, they win 8-2 to open the series, and then they score three runs with nine total hits the rest of the way. And Auburn did a really good job of shutting down what Tennessee was able to do with just one run scored in what was the opener that the Tigers got. And then Tennessee managed just another run at the end of that. They lost 7-1 in the finale. So I do think that while you have looked for, I mean, sometimes it's been Tegan Coons, then it's been the return of A.J. Russell as to who that game three starter has been. I do think in the second half of the schedule, it's been an inconsistent approach on offense that has inconsistent production on offense that has really hampered Tennessee's ability to just win a series.
I want to ask you about Marcus Phillips throwing tonight opposite of Zach Root. What do we need to know about him?
When he's on, watch out. You can go back and look at his performance against LSU, and that is the spotlight on what he's capable of. At the same time, he's also somebody who apparently can get frustrated. I mean, first pitch this past weekend against Vanderbilt, he hits the leadoff batter who then steals second, steals third, and comes in on a ground ball to second. And that was the run. He had set down the next three guys in order, but that is one thing that when teams have been able to set the table against him, they've been able to run. And I know that Arkansas is not a team that does a great amount of that, but it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see them explore that aspect of tonight's matchup, because he has struggled to hold runners on. I think it was 8 stolen bases for Ole Miss in his start in Oxford. It was 10 stolen bases for Kentucky when he went against the Wildcats in Knoxville. It was another kind of run wild day for Auburn in the time that he was on the mound there. And then Vanderbilt, of course, was off to the races as well. So I think it's close to 40 stolen bases against him when it comes to this season, and especially in SEC play. But in terms of, he's got great velocity. He can get it up to triple digits. A breaking ball that, if he can locate it for strikes, that's where it really puts the teeth into his ability on the mound against an opposing lineup. But it's been hit or miss in terms of being able to locate the breaking stuff for strikes. So he's got a 3 or 4 pitch mix. And again, when he's on, watch out. But it's not been... it's not even been an every other start kind of thing of late. It's kind of been a shining moment and then a difficult stretch.
John, we'll get you out of here on this. You've been over here to Fayetteville several times for these series. I wonder, is there something you look forward to when you come to town?
Well, the fact that you always get to experience such an incredible atmosphere. You know that the Razorback fans are always going to bring it. The one thing, it's that hope that at some point in time, Tennessee will find a way to win another series here. The last time they won a series, Chris Burke, who's part of the action calling the games tonight, he was in the lineup. So that was back in 2001, and they managed to get the first two before the Razorbacks got the last one. But that's the last time that Tennessee came away with two wins here. So it's just ready to see what happens next and see if Tennessee can't slay a particular hog when all is said and done.
Well, John, we appreciate your time. You've been gracious with it, and hope you enjoy your stay here in Fayetteville this weekend.
Matt, I sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll see you later. John Wilkerson, the voice of Tennessee baseball. You know, the end of the season, like the final regular season weekend, sometimes you get some not real great matchups. But it feels like, and a lot of this is due to the fact that there's, what, like 13 or 14 SEC teams that are still in contention for the NCAAs. There's a lot of really big matchups this weekend. Looking around the SEC, I guess it starts with Texas A&M at Georgia. Very interested to see how the Aggies bounce back from everything that went wrong last week against Mizzou.
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, you just – last weekend, who would have thought that? A sweep. I don't know. That's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Hats off to Mizzou for pulling together somehow. I don't know how they did it. I had them pegged for 0-30, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what LSU, if they've, or not LSU, A&M, if they kind of let go of the rope, or if they're, you know, they're going to show some fight this weekend.
Yeah, I guess if they go to Georgia and win, they're going to be a very interesting team to evaluate by the selection committee if they win at Georgia, because they will have had series wins over LSU, Arkansas, Georgia, all three top 8 seeds probably, and then over Tennessee, a team that's fighting to be a regional host. But their RPI is way down in the dumps right now, and it's an even weirder team, I think, to evaluate than Florida was last year.
I think so. I think the sweep last week just killed. That was a dagger. But yeah, we'll see. But here's the thing,
it was you like mentioned overkill. Like, yeah, where are they going for the stab three times?
But I'm glad that there's a lot of good games this weekend. I was afraid when they took the divisions out and it was 1 through 16, we're going to get to this last weekend and there were a bunch of games that didn't mean anything, and you're going to see teams tanking and, you know, throwing people out there. Just, you know, I don't know. I was worried about the way this last weekend was going to come together.
A couple of series that I think we know how they're going to go. Mississippi State goes to Missouri, but you never know. Maybe Mizzou is hot now and they make it a more competitive series. Of course, Mississippi State, I think they're going on the road for the first time since Lemonis was fired. I think they played their last two series in Starkville, which makes a little bit of a difference. LSU goes to South Carolina. My every expectation is that LSU goes there and sweeps that series. and makes Arkansas and Texas have to win some games to keep LSU from sharing the conference championship. Other matchups this weekend, Kentucky goes to Vanderbilt. Probably going to be a lot of stolen bases, or at least a lot of attempted steals between those two teams. Auburn goes to Ole Miss. That's a very interesting series. Auburn, obviously, they're right in the thick of the national seed talk right now in terms of a top eight. A series that I think is flying under the radar, Bubba. Alabama goes to Florida. Alabama, they have all of a sudden popped up in top eight conversations. I mean, they've got a strength of schedule that's in the top 20s. Mm-hmm. They've got an RPI that's in the top 10. They got a really nice series win last week against Georgia. If they were to go to Florida, who's been the best team in the SEC for about a month and a half now, they might get two in Tuscaloosa.
You know, if they take two out of three, I mean, win that series, I mean, they're in pretty good shape. But then you got a team like Florida that's really hot right now, and it's a team I wouldn't want to play right now.
Yeah, Alabama, they're pretty good. That's a sneaky good series, I think, this weekend. And then, of course, the two that we're most interested in, Texas goes to OU. We've talked about that a little bit. And Tennessee here at Arkansas. The first game tonight is going to be 7 o'clock. On ESPN2. I want to go back to a couple of things that I wanted to talk to you about earlier in the week, and we just ran out of time. Justin Thomas has taken the on-base percentage lead for the Razorbacks, kind of quietly. But his on-base percentage, I think, now is .465 overall, 10 points higher than Iredell and Vahiva Aloy. And when you've got that coming from your nine hole, now you're setting the table for those guys at the top of the order. And I feel like that's been a real positive development for Arkansas in the last really probably 3 weeks or so.
I think so. There's two things we haven't had in a while is a true leadoff guy and then a true nine-hole guy. Dave always talks about having that guy in the nine-hole. It's like a second leadoff man. Mm-hmm. We have both of those now, and I think Justin's been huge in the bottom of that lineup because him getting on base and rolling that lineup back over with him on base is huge because look at the guys you got coming up behind him. So it's been huge. And he's not only just a get-on-base guy. I mean, you mess around leaving over the plate, he's going to hit it a long way. So he brings a whole lot to this offense.
If he can get on tonight against Phillips, you think he's a threat to run?
Yes. I think he could end up on third really fast, at least second base. I mean, we don't steal third a whole lot. Third's the easiest base to steal. And
why is that?
It's just easier to time a guy up. Mm. You know, you always talk about the one-look guy, you know, one look and go. A two-look guy is no different. You know, they look back and you go. So they're easy to steal off of. A lot of guys, they don't understand. They fall into a rut. And a lot of guys will try to mess you up with the second look. Second look's no different than the first. You just revert back to the look. The look to the plate, timing, and go.
Oh, this is and people, I think, incorrectly will attribute stolen bases to catchers. It's more about how slow a pitcher is to a plate.
Absolutely.
And how well you can run on him. But from a catcher's perspective, is it an easier throw to second or to third?
I mean, third's a tough throw. If a batter is in the back of the box, I mean, it can – you know, and they hold their ground, it can be a tough throw, depending on where the pitch is.
What about, does it make a difference on a right or a left-handed hitter?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's easier to throw to third against when a left-handed hitter is in the box.
Yeah, as a coach, I'm a little hesitant to call to steal third with a lefty up. With a righty, I like it. I tell my guys to get back in the back of the box and be as big as they can, make that catcher throw around you. So, but I just think it's going to be, I think it's going to be fun when watching our guys, when we get on base, you know, and I still go back. I wish Souza was in a lineup. He would steal some bags tonight, but look, can't steal first base. Still got to get on base. If this dude's on, he's hard to get on base with. I mean, he's got great stuff. Let's just, I really like our lineup. I think we match up well against him.
Is there any concern? Somebody asked me this earlier this week. Are there any concerns about Arkansas leaving so many runners against LSU?
No, because if you're leaving runners, that means you're getting on base.
Okay.
And I think left on base is something – it shouldn't even go in the box score, in my opinion, because it's just – I mean, it's a good thing. And people get mad. Oh, we left 12 runners on base. Well, yeah, we had a whole bunch of runners on base, and a dude made a good pitch against us. But you get a lot of runners on, you're going to score a lot of runs.
Well, and that was kind of my thought against LSU is the fact – I mean, look at the guys that they were throwing at the back end, like Chase Shores and Zach Cohen. And well, he wasn't a bullpen guy, but he has been their starter in Game 3. Evans has been awfully good for him out of the bullpen when they've thrown him there this year. Their bullpen, I mean, they ran out of arms at the end, but those first, you know, four or five that they brought in over the course of the weekend, they were really, really good that I think probably could stack up with anybody in the country. And, oh, by the way, then they've got that 1-2 punch, you know, guys that are going 6-7 innings in starter roles.
Yeah, LSU, that was impressive. I was worried about that going in. I didn't realize they had that much depth in the bullpen, though. We grinded it out. You know, at the end of the series, they ran out, but they were bringing these 6'8", 6'9", dudes throwing 100.
Moving Shores to the bullpen has been a big deal for them because he was a starter for them. And then, I mean, it was almost like they were able to get a start out of him in the amount of innings that he threw in Game 1 and Game 3. I think he threw close to 5 innings.
Yeah. Here's what we've done a good job of, though. All year, we've done a good job of getting to that team's starting pitcher. And I think that's going to be crucial again this weekend. I think going into Friday night, if we can get in the pen early tonight, I think that sets us up for the rest of the weekend.
Gabe Frazier is not listed on the availability report this week, which means that he is available. Now, listen to Dave Van Horn talk about him yesterday. It sounds like his status is kind of iffy. Like, he'll play on a need-to basis. I don't know that they actually want him to play. And I don't know. I mean, I think what they've done the last couple of weeks has worked, where they've had Kozel at second. He doesn't have the range at second that Frazier has. But I think it's worked having him at second base and Robinette over at first.
Yeah, I think Robinette's done a really good job. Kozel's made all the plays at second. And Robinette's really impressed me. He's had some good at-bats. Even against LSU, there were some at-bats where he – ultimately struck out or made an out, but he saw a lot of pitches, fouled off some pitches, and that's some high velo stuff.
And I want to ask you, has his bat speed improved? Because
yes.
There was a – he, I think on the RBI ground out to first, that was a 99-mile-an-hour pitch, and he got around and did what he needed to do with that pitch. And I think that's been some concern with him through the years is, okay, you know, like Texas, the two home runs that he hit against Texas were splitters. You know, can he catch up to the really elite fastball stuff?
Early on, I would have said no. I called it, you know, and I'm not bashing him. I mean, some guys have quick bats, some guys don't. There's guys in the big leagues that have slider bat speed. I would have said that he was on the lower end on the bat speed, not really slider bat speed, but, you know, you look at two home runs he hit against Texas, they were both split finger changes. But he showed he hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball first pitch up the middle against LSU for a base hit. So he can, when he wants to get to that fastball, he can. And I think his bat speed's come around. I think they've done a really good job working with him. He's made a few adjustments. He's quickened it up a little bit.
I want to ask you, too, about Ryder Helfrich. People notice what he's doing offensively. Dave moved him up to the 5-hole, I think, in the last game against LSU. He had a couple of doubles, big game that day. What has been standing out to me, though, about him, and I wonder if you've seen this, is it seems like the quality of pitch calling has really taken a step forward here in the last 2 to 3 weeks.
I think so, and it's something that it's hard to do when you're a catcher. You've got a lot of responsibilities, but I think the putting down the right finger – well, you're not putting down a finger anymore, but calling that right pitch in the right situation.
Punching the right button.
Yeah, punching the right button. There you go. It's so hard to say that. But I wish – the one thing that frustrates me – I think back about Gage Wood in the first inning at LSU, an 0-2 curveball right over the middle of the plate. Now, did they want it there? No, that's not where it's supposed to be. But still, you got a guy throwing 98. I think we can do a little better than that. And I think it's easy to second guess a guy. If he gets a rollover ground ball right there on the 0-2 curveball, you're like, oh, yeah, great call. But since the pitcher hung it, and I think a lot of times the catcher gets criticized for the pitcher making a bad pitch. It's supposed to be a slider in the dirt, and it hangs, and a guy hits it 400 feet. Well, why'd you call that? If he executes the pitch and gets the strikeout, it's, oh, good job, Ryder. So it's kind of, you know, it's tough to be a catcher right now and call pitches.
I blame Jay Johnson for Gage's outing last week on his pregame show, because I always try to listen to both coaches if I can. And on his pregame show, he multiple times said Gage Wood has got the best curveball in college baseball. And it was like he's just poking the voodoo doll, yeah, trying to get him to have a bad outing.
Here's the thing with Jay Johnson, it drives me crazy. I could build a house in the time you could play a baseball game. I mean, they just slow play it. Even with the new rules, I mean, talk about the offensive timeouts and just the trips to the mound and just everything just seems so slow, just pitching change after pitching change. I don't know. It's just it's frustrating to watch sometimes, but, you know, he does a good job.
As it relates to the top eight national seed, Arkansas, I think they need one win this weekend, and they can kick up their feet and light the cigars. Now, I think that that's not what they want to do, but that would get them a top eight, and I think nobody would doubt that. The the importance of taking advantage tonight with Liam Doyle not on the mound and Arkansas's guy on the mound feels like, I mean, this is a huge game one.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, root against Phillips, nothing against Phillips, but, I mean, this is pitching advantage Arkansas.
Absolutely. And we just need to go out and take advantage of it. But, you know, like John said, when he's on, he's on. But I like the matchup a lot. I feel like we take this game, we're in good shape. Who knows what they're going to do tomorrow. I wonder if Dave kind of moved our pitching rotation around a little bit based on Doyle pitching.
I wonder if they knew. Because, he announced his and sometimes the coach, the announcements don't necessarily correlate with when the coaches communicate with each other. But Dave did announce his like 5 hours before Tennessee announced theirs.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Maybe he didn't.
Maybe Tennessee is influenced by what Arkansas did.
Could be that maybe they're just, but they need to win. It looks like to me they need to win two games. They need to win the series.
You're talking about Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
To be in a regional host conversation? Yeah. Yes, I do.
I mean, because they're right on that 16 bubble.
Yeah. They need an RPI boost. Yeah. I mean, beating Arkansas, I think, would be their best series win of the year. I don't think they've got one quite at that caliber in terms of RPI, the opponent's RPI.
I mean, but I think the blister's legit. A lot of times I think an excuse for moving a guy's, I don't really buy into it. I think the blister thing is a real deal. I think giving him an extra day of rest on that blister is huge for Doyle.
I would ask you who you think's going to win tonight, but you kind of remind me of, you ever watch the Saturday Night Live skit with the Bears?
Yeah, the Bears.
Yeah. Well, you'd be like the Hogs.
I'm not always like that, though.
Let's put it this way. Oh, go ahead. You can call it down the middle.
Yeah. I don't call it down the middle. I definitely have Razorback goggles on. But when I see something I don't like, I call it out. But, I feel really good. If I was going to bet tonight, I'd bet on the Razorbacks.
I say you watch the games in your John Conley rose-colored glasses. what do you think the key is tonight? See, to me, I think they're going to go all in to win this game tonight.
I do, too.
And then see what they got left over from a pitching standpoint tomorrow.
I do, too. And I think if they need to use Jimenez tonight, whatever they need to do, Jimenez, Gackle, whatever they need to win this game, I think Dave's going to do it. Worry about tomorrow. And it's a cliche, we take it one game at a time, mm-hmm. but I think that's truly how Dave does this. He says all the time, when you see a chance to get a win, take it, because mm-hmm. they're hard to get in the SEC. I think they're going to go all in, get this win. Ideally, we score a bunch of runs tonight, steal a bunch of bases. We don't have to use those guys.
It'll be interesting. It should be fun tonight. I mean, I'm really looking forward to get over there to the ballpark. I'm a little upset that it's starting so late because you can only get there so early. But we're looking forward to it. 7 o'clock, ESPN2. Tom Hart and Chris Burke are going to be on the call on ESPN this week. We appreciate you being with us. Bubba's going to be back in studio with us on Monday. We'll know a lot more by then about what the SEC tournament bracket obviously looks like. Did the Razorbacks win the SEC? Did Texas? What's that look like? So looking forward to having him back in there. Hope you'll visit our website, wholehogsports.com, tonight for all of our coverage from Arkansas-Tennessee Game 1. And we'll be back on our podcast tomorrow to talk about it. Have a great day, everybody.